Identified resources by the House Resources Committee and act related to issuance of hunting, trapping, and non-commercial fishing licenses, tags, and permits, and to residency for fishing game purposes and providing for an effective date. Resources Committee considered the bill. Signed Dupont, Senator Halford, Chair, Senators Lehman, Green, and Sharp. Senator Taylor signed amend. Senator Torkelson signed no recommendation. Rules recommends calendar, signing replacement of calendar and due pass. Senator Lehman, Chair, signing to calendar. Senators Taylor, Miller, and Torgerson. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee version be adopted.
Senator Taylor, this is just an advancement motion from second to third.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute House Bill 25, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Bill 25, Resources, an act related to the issuance of hunting, trapping, and non-commercial fishing licenses, tags, and permits, and to residency for fishing game purposes and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall committee substitute for House Bill 25, Resources, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 25, Resources, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, the effective date?
Unanimous consent to vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote of the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Bill 103, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, an act repealing certain state funds and accounts and boards, limitations and programs related to those funds and accounts and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill. Signed to pass, Senator Sharp, co-chair, Senator Phillips, Senator Pierce, co-chair, and Senators Cornell, Adams, and Donnelly signed no recommendation. Rules recommends calendar, signed to calendar, and due pass, Senator Lehman, chair, signed replacement to calendar, Senators Duncan, Miller, Torgerson, and Taylor. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor?
I move asking unanimous consent. Committee substitute House Bill 103, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Bill number 103, Finance, an act repealing certain state funds and accounts and boards, limitations, and programs related to those funds and accounts, and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall committee substitute for House Bill 103, Finance, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 18 yeas to 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 103, Finance, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, the effective date?
I move and ask unanimous consent. The vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered.
House Bill number 106 by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the Municipal Assistance Program and the Organization Grant Program and providing for an effective date. Community Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill. Signed no recommendation. Senator Mackey, Chair, Senator Hoffman. Signed, due pass. Senators Wilkins, Phillips, and Donnelly. Finance Committee considered the bill. Signed, due pass. Senator Sharp, co-chair, Senator Phillips. Signed, no recommendation. Senator Pierce, co-chair, Senators Parnell, Adams, and Donnelly. Rules recommends calendar. Signed, to calendar, and due pass. Senator Lehman, chair. Signed, replacement of the calendar. Senators Duncan, Miller, Torkelson, and Taylor. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. House Bill 106 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
House Bill number 106 by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the Municipal Assistance Program and the Organization Grant Program and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall House Bill 106 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, House Bill 106 is passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date?
We ask unanimous consent. The vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Green?
Can we move up the calendar to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, so ordered. You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce Romy DeChamp from Palmer, who is here. He's a pharmacist at Geneva Woods Matsu Pharmacy, and he's visiting here on behalf of the tobacco tax. Help me welcome him.
Senator Green?
Also at the Miller's Gallery is, I hate to say an old friend, but a longtime friend that my husband worked with at the Corps of Engineers in the early 60s in Anchorage, Earl Osman, who is probably in the district of the Midtown. Senator Earl Osman, help me welcome him.
Senator Taylor.
The last person in the gallery that hasn't been introduced is an old friend of mine. And many people here He's a resident of Ketchikan and started the Alaskans for Drug-Free Youth program in Ketchikan. And her name is Linda Adams.
That brings us back down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
House Bill number 107 by the House Finance Committee, enacted related to water quality enhancement and water supply, wastewater, and solid waste system grants, finds an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill. Signed, to pass, Senator Sharp, co-chair, Senator Phillips. Signed, no recommendation, Senator Pierce, co-chair, Senators Pinnell, Adams, and Donnelly. Rules recommends calendar. Signed, for placement of the calendar, and do pass, Senator Lehman, chair. Signed, the calendar, Senators Duncan, Miller, Torkelson, and Taylor. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. House Bill 107 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
House Bill number 107, enacted relating to water quality enhancement and water supply, wastewater, and solid waste system grants, and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body shall House Bill 107 pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, House Bill 107 is passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date.
Ask unanimous consent. Vote on passing of the bill be considered the vote of the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 12 by the Senate Judiciary Committee, suspending uniform rules 24C3541B and 42E of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 9 related to victims of crime and other criminal law matters. Rules recommends calendar. Signed, to calendar, Senator Lehman, chair, Senators Duncan, Miller, Tortoise, and Taylor. I have no amendments.
Is there a debate? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I think it's appropriate under this resolution to have an explanation of probably the amendment that's causing us to do this. And so I would, or the proposed amendment anyway that's causing us to do this. So if we had a discussion, an explanation from the sponsor, I appreciate it.
Senator Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Senator. And I think it is appropriate to do that at this time. The only reason that we have this Senate concurrent resolution for a title change before us is that a small amendment to a bill received from the other body would require that the title be changed. And that, of course, is an amendment to a bill yet to be heard today. And that's House Bill number 9. Within that bill, it provides for a... It will no longer allow, I should say, if the bill passes, psychiatric examinations, and it was felt from testimony received in the Judiciary Committee that that should not be restricted any more than it is today. Under current practice today, you must first prove that the witness is claiming that the event happened, whoever that witness is, has a definite psychological or psychiatric condition that is directly related to their ability to tell the truth. You have to be able to prove that to the judge first. Second thing you have to prove to the judge is that the victim's testimony is not corroborated by anything or is otherwise untrustworthy. And once you've proven that the testimony is not corroborated by anything, the witness is otherwise untrustworthy, and then you have also proven to the judge that this person has a definite psychological or psychiatric condition. After you've met that two-fold threshold, you then can request of the judge that a psychiatric examination be had of that witness so that the results of that examination can be used to determine credibility of the witness. This is a very, very rarely used exception. And as you can tell, it takes a significant hearing and findings of fact that are very weighty on the part of the judge. In fact, the testimony before Judiciary was that it is so rarely used, the one lady who has spent her entire adult career as a defense attorney stated she had applied for it on only two occasions in her 9 or 10 years of practice. Both times she had been denied the right to have the psychiatric exam. She was only aware of one having been granted, and the case in which it was granted, you had a case where it was alleged that a rape had occurred. The person was accused of sexual assault. He admitted that he had had sexual contact with the other person, but felt it was consensual. The victim, who said it was forced, had a psychiatric history. She was psychotic, and when she did not take medication, heard voices, and was directed to do things by people who didn't exist. Her ability to recall and perceive the events in question was very suspect. She had made false accusations of people in the past, including a Supreme Court justice. Under this rule, the jury will not hear any of that and will have to decide whether this woman is making a true accusation without knowing her true state of memory. So the purpose of the amendment would be to delete the ban within the bill as it came out of the Finance Committee. They reinstated it, and as a consequence, if we are going to do such an amendment, which would be amendment, I believe, number four, to accomplish that, we first have to accomplish the passage of this Senate concurrent resolution. I'm sorry it took so long to explain that, but it is somewhat complicated. And what we need to do first is pass the Senate concurrent resolution number 12. Having done that, that brings up properly before us the question of the amendment, and at that time we can debate that amendment.
Further debate. Senator Donnelly.
The sponsor has asked me to convey that the sponsor does prefer the bill the way it came from the House and would oppose the change.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall the Senate concurrent resolution pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Senator Green? From yes to no. Senator Mackey? Senator Mackey is changing from no to yes. Any other members? Secretary will lock the roll. We'll record the vote. So by a vote of 13 yeas to 6 nays, Senate concurrent resolution has failed to pass the Senate, needing 14 votes for a rule change.
Senate CS for House Bill number 9, Finance, amended Senate relating to the rights of victims of crime victims and victims of juvenile offenses, held in second reading from yesterday.
Senator Taylor?
Pending amendment. Move and ask unanimous consent. Senate concurrent, Senate committee substitute, House Bill number 9, Finance, amended Senate, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate CS for House Bill number 9, Finance MS, enacting the rights of crime victims and victims of juvenile offenses relating to collection by victims of restitution from prisoners relating to the definition of incapacitated for sexual offenses, creating the crime of interfering with the report of a crime involving domestic violence, relating to mental examination of victims and criminal prosecutions, relating to safety of victims, other persons in the community and setting bail or conditions of release, relating to access to certain records of the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, amending Rule 6, 43D, Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure, Rules 404 and 615, Alaska Rules of Evidence, and Rule 3, Alaska Delinquency Rules, and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to point out one thing that House Bill 9 does that's very important, and that's to put into statute something we all thought was a constitutional right now for victims, and that's to be allowed to attend trial proceedings. And we've had some judges that frankly just have not been supporters of victims' rights, have looked for every opportunity to avoid giving victims the rights that I think the people wanted to give them when we adopted the constitutional amendment a few years ago, and have been denying victims access to the courtroom under the argument they thought they'd be a witness in the proceedings at some time. So this makes it very clear that we would like folks to have that access, and it is appropriate. So I think it's an important piece of legislation, does a lot of other good things for victims also.
Senator Taylor.
I serve notice of reconsideration on the vote on Senate concurrent resolution number 12.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate concurrent resolution number 12. Is there further debate in third reading? We're in third reading on House Bill 9. Is there further debate? Senator Salford, please stand. Is there debate? Senator Taylor.
Just for explanation purposes, so the body will understand what I'm doing. I intend to call for reconsideration on this. I strongly support the substance of the bill. I just feel there's that one paragraph that needs a little bit of change. I'll attempt to bring that up again tomorrow in the reconsideration. I don't think it's important for us to waste our time further on this.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 9, Finance amended Senate, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. But by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 9, Finance amended Senate, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor.
I move and ask unanimous
consent the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective dates clauses.
Without objection, so ordered.
And I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the court rule changes.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Taylor.
And I would serve notice of reconsideration on the bill.
Notice of reconsideration being given on House Bill 9.
CS for House Bill number 115, Judiciary amended, an act making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the revisor of statutes, providing for an effective date held from yesterday with amendment number 1 moved and pending.
We have before us, we're in second reading on House Bill 115, and we have amendment number 1 pending. Is there further debate on amendment number 1? Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, yesterday a couple questions were asked about it. Who these organizations are, they're national accrediting organizations, and what schools in the state of Alaska are nationally accredited and are not regionally accredited. And right now we're having the list that the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education provided to us. They are the keepers of this data, and you'll see that on the list there are, I believe there are 23 schools that are regionally accredited. Several of these, however, are not Alaska schools. There are five that are nationally accredited, but not regionally accredited. And my understanding from the commission is that one of those schools, the Alaska Computer Institute, is withdrawing and is losing its accreditation. So that would leave four on the list. And the acronyms on the accrediting institutions are deciphered down below for those, the member who requested the information. I still believe this is a technical change to legislation that passed several years ago, and I do not believe that there should be a financial impact. I believe any suggestion that there is mere conjecture on who, on what schools taxpayers might contribute to, or what schools they might not, and so I urge the members to support the amendment.
Senator Hufford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know whether I should raise a point of order, but I at least have a question as to whether we can amend the revisor's bill that is specifically exempted from the single subject rule by a specific constitutional provision. I think an amendment to a revisor's bill not proposed by the revisor that has any substantive effect at all endangers the constitutionality of the revisor's bill.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just going to raise that point of order. I do have a memo from Pamela Finney, who's revisor of statutes, legal services division, and she indicates just exactly what Senator Hufford is saying, that this is a policy decision, and revisor's bill is not the appropriate vehicle to make this decision. And therefore, she would strongly recommend against setting this type of precedent in a revisor's bill.
Senator Lehman. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I just briefly looked at the memo from Pam Finley. I don't agree with her on it. And I believe that yesterday when I said that the U.S. Department of Education looks at these accrediting institutions comparably in terms of what their standards are, and also our Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education says that their regulations treat the two the same, I believe that this would indeed just be a technical change that would be consistent with legislative policy. However, I perceive that there are many others in this body who do not concur with that, and so instead of forcing this to a vote on the floor, I'd move and ask unanimous consent they'll be allowed to withdraw this amendment number 1.
With that objection, so ordered.
I have no further amendment.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute House Bill 115, Judiciary amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Bill 115, Judiciary amended, an act making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the revisor of statutes, providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall committee substitute for House Bill 115, Judiciary Amended, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any member wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 18 yeas to 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 115, Judiciary Amended, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, second debate.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute House Bill 115, Judiciary Amended. Vote on passage thereof. Be considered the vote on the effective dates clauses.
Without objection, so ordered.
House Bill number 18, an act extending to certain partnerships and corporations a 10% procurement preference currently given to certain sole proprietorships who are Alaska bidders and owned by persons with disabilities before the Senate on reconsideration.
House Bill 18 is in third reading on reconsideration. Is there debate? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 18 be returned to second reading for purpose of specific amendment.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I move amendment number 1.
Is there objection? There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Just but I can't find it yet.
The amendment.
Senator,
backing of these preferences, and the questions that were asked is how they applied to each other yesterday, and also or the day before yesterday, and also what the definition is. The definition is not terribly clear in statute. It hasn't been a problem in the past, but it could be with the expansion under the bill. And stacking is possible under the existing law. It hasn't been done. This amendment makes sure that it isn't done.
Is the objection maintained to amendment number 1? Hearing no objection, amendment number 1 is passed. Brings us back into third reading. Is there debate? Wait, let the board catch up here. Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall House Bill 18, amended Senate, pass the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, House Bill 18, amended Senate, has passed the Senate on reconsideration.
Citations. Henry Tillman Frank and Johnny Horton, authors and performers of North to Alaska and When It's Springtime in Alaska. Honoring Hoona Braves women's basketball team. Honoring Heidelberg's Warriors basketball team. Honoring the United States Air Force on its 50th anniversary in Alaska. In memoriam, Wayne Cotilla. In memoriam, David Harville.
Senator Taylor. Move and ask unanimous consent. The citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, so ordered. Brings us down to unfinished. Senator Green.
Return to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection, so ordered.
I just came into the Miller's Gallery as a good friend from Palmer, who's also a former boyhood friend of the senator from Fairbanks. I'd like to introduce Aaron Downing. Thank you.
For the guest. For the guest. Seeing no further guests, that brings us down to unfinished business. Is there Senator Duggan?
Mr. President, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 18.
Notice of Senator, we passed that in reconsideration.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
I'd like to do it anyway. But if I can't, I won't. So then I'll bring up Senate Bill 21. Notice of reconsideration. How's that?
Notice the reconsideration on Senate Bill 21 has been brought up at this time.
I think I'd give him reconsideration.
CS for Senate Bill 21 finance relating to ferries and ferry terminals establishing the Alaska Marine Highway Authority.
Is there debate? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to bring up two or three more points, or points again, on the Marine Highway Authority that's created by Senate Bill 21. And be sure that the public understands, despite the fact the public radio said this morning that the senator from Wrangell and I were on the same side of this issue, that we weren't. I voted against it, he voted for it. But there are several concerns, I think, that should be clearly identified with this bill. And I talked about them yesterday and then did some further research to see if I was way off base or not, and I find out, at least in my opinion, I'm not off base. On page 2 of the bill, where it talks about the board of directors and who those individuals will be, whom they will be. It talks about, it says two persons who are members of a union that represents employees of the authority. I think that's a good idea, and I know that the union members believe that's a good idea, but I expressed concern on the floor of this body yesterday about the impact then of requiring that the director shall comply with AS 3950 conflict of interest. Because my statement on this floor was, with that requirement there, those two union members, in many cases, will really become non-entities on the board. They won't be able to participate in many policy-making decisions that's going to impact the marine highway system. Any policy-making decision that deals puts them in a position of conflict that deals with wages or working conditions or any other consideration where they may perceive to have a conflict will take them out of the picture. The majority leader responded, no, it'll work just like it does on the floor of this body, that if they have a conflict, they just need to identify the conflict, somebody on the board will object, and they can vote anyway. That's not correct. And I asked for an opinion from our legal attorney on that, how the conflict of interest law and the Executive Branch Ethics Act would apply to these members of this Marine Highway Authority Board. And clearly it says that it will place them in a unique situation within the state conflict of interest and ethics laws, that they will have to take a very appropriate level of caution, and it may have a chilling effect on the members' participation in the activities of the board. And finally, in summary, what the opinion says is that if the member's involvement in the matter before the board would be a violation of the chapter, the member must refrain from voting, deliberating, or participating in the board's considerations. Must refrain from voting, participating, or deliberating. So in matters of working conditions, wages, all those things of which could have impact on the employees of the Marine Highway System that this board will be involved in making, those two members who represent unions cannot participate. I don't believe that clearly the union members and the unions who are supporting this legislation understood that when that provision was put in there, because they got comfort because they were on the board. The conflict of interest laws in the state will put them in a position where they can't participate in many, many decisions made by that authority. And I think that does not work in their favor and will really limit their ability to have clear and definitive debate and discussion and have participation in the decisions that are made by the authority. The second concern that I expressed was the fact that why I believe that those who have supported this should be concerned is that somewhere down the line, of course, this authority is going to want to run the Marine Highway System and make it as least expensive, as least costly as possible, generate as much revenues as possible, of course, and make it as least costly as possible, and that one of the reasons why we haven't gone to a private approach before or an authority approach before is because of the concern by the unions and others, the administration included, about the impact on collective bargaining and what that would mean to collective bargaining. And I still believe quite firmly that collective bargaining for public employees, for those employees of the Marine Highway System, are at risk under the Marine Highway Authority in the future. Not as long as the contracts are in existence, but that at some point, that board, because now we find out that the board will make this decision without the two union members participating because of conflict of interest laws, that board will make the decision that they want this legislature to take them out of the Public Employee Relations Act, because their bottom line is they want to reduce costs, and they believe they can do that better if they don't have to deal with unions. Right now, about 74-75% of the cost of running those ferries are labor costs, payroll costs. It's labor intensive. And if they're going to reduce cost overall, then that means that they have to do something in that area, and I clearly think that works against collective bargaining and works against the unions who are now involved in running that system and hopefully involved in the future. For that reason, another second reason I oppose this. The third reason, of course, is that I don't think that, clearly I don't believe that the system is adequately funded, and I don't believe that creating this authority will solve the problems or bring adequate funding. In fact, I believe it will do just the opposite. I believe it will not remove it from its political realm, that when as long as they have to come back to the legislature for an appropriation, there will be politics involved. And I also believe, despite the language that's put into this legislation to ensure that the authority has some control and some say over how federal funds are used for reconstruction and maintaining the vessels, that they're at risk, much more at risk than they are now when they're clearly under the Department of Transportation, Public Facilities, and Commissioner. And finally, Mr. President, I think the public should be aware, and this body should be aware, of the fact that we're passing a piece of legislation with an attached fiscal note that doesn't allow the authority to operate. Does not do the job that needs to be done to allow the authority to operate. If we're going to pass a Marine Highway Authority and charge it with responsibility of overseeing the Marine Highway system and straightening out some of the problems we have in that system, it needs to be adequately funded, and it's not. The Conference Committee on the Budget has not adequately funded the Marine Highway system, in my mind. The Director of Marine Highways and his secretary are eliminated, gone. They don't exist. They're eliminated by the Conference Committee, and they're not provided for in this fiscal note. So we're creating an authority that doesn't have the money in their FY98 operating budget to hire an executive director, although they're mandated to, and this fiscal note doesn't give them the money to hire an executive director. We're kidding somebody, but we're not willing to adequately fund the Marine Highway Authority to correct the problem. Furthermore, if you look at the legislation on page 3 of the bill, lines 2 through 7, it says an appointed director is entitled to compensation at a rate of $300 for each day the director is engaged in actual performance of duties under this chapter. $300. And as I read it, there's 6 appointed directors. And they're supposed to get $300 a day while they're conducting business. Now, I didn't prepare the fiscal notes. The co-chair of finance did, and the sponsor of this legislation did. But if you look at his analysis, on the bottom of the fiscal note, it says, on or after 1/1/98, appointed authority directors will begin meetings. Assume 50 business days of meetings during first year of operations. 50 business days of meetings times the number of directors times $300, 50 times 300 times 6 equals 90,000. This fiscal note is for 62,000. So there's not even the money in the fiscal note to allow them to meet as often as it's assumed by the writer of the fiscal note they should meet, and the law says we have to pay them $300 a day. And there's not any money in the fiscal note to provide for an executive director. And just an executive director alone at the salary and at the range that the present director of the Marine Highway System would be is $119,000. So there is over $210,000, and then if you had a secretary, it's more money. You know, to be realistic, this fiscal note should be in the neighborhood of $400,000 for fiscal year 98. Around $275,000 for personal services costs, and the contractual cost, or whatever you want to call them, the cost involved in having the meetings and the travel and paying $300 a day per director, per meeting, as the bill requires, and based on the fiscal note of 50 meetings, that should be $125,000. So, Mr. President, this is a sham. We're passing a piece of legislation that doesn't give the protection that I believe the employees of this of the Marine Highway System believes it gives them, because their 2 members of that board will be prohibited from doing business and participating in business. And secondly, we're passing a fiscal note that doesn't even fund the number of meetings they're going to be meeting at $300 per day per director, nor does it have any room to hire an executive director of the authority. And that clearly should be understood by this body before we pass this bill, and clearly should be understood by those who believe that this bill will straighten out the problem. You can't straighten out the problems if you can't hold meetings and if you can't have an executive director, and the fiscal note and the budget don't allow for either one of those to happen.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, question before the body. So committee substitute for Senate Bill 21, Finance, pass the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, committee substitute for Senate 21 Finance is passed the Senate on reconsideration. Senator Taylor?
Consent vote on passing the bill be considered vote of the effective date clauses.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Lincoln?
President, I bring up for reconsideration SB 60.
Senate Bill 60 has been brought up on reconsideration at this time.
Senate Bill number 60, providing for an advisory vote on the issue of capital punishment for the Senate reconsideration.
Is there a debate? Senator Lincoln, you have the floor.
Mr. President, there were some comments that were made on the floor yesterday that I think need correcting. And if I might, some of the information that was given to me is through the former Commissioner of Corrections, Mr. Campbell. And some of the areas that we talked about yesterday in which members from the other side of the aisle refuted was the deterrent of the offenders, whether life imprisonment or capital punishment would be the deterrent. It's my understanding that through numerous studies that have been done by criminologists and other social scholars over the past 40 years, they have failed to establish the use of death penalty as a deterrent that is greater than the prospects of the long-term imprisonment. And not only that, Mr. President, but those studies that have been done also show that those that are on death row have to be managed in a confinement for at a minimum of 10 years. And so we're not talking about capital punishment that it is a short-term confinement for these individuals. We are talking long-term. We are talking of the expense to the state of holding those individuals in confinement for a great length of time, even with the death penalty. And additionally, a comment was made that if one were in life in prison, that the safety of the police officers would be in jeopardy rather than having the death penalty. And that just is not true, Mr. President, that it does show that the studies reflect that those that are in there for the death penalty, that the police or the prison officers are at greater risk than they are if they are there for a life sentence. So that I wanted to have corrected on the record, as well as, and finally, the issue of racial bias that was discussed here on the floor yesterday and last Monday, I believe it was. The House of Delegates of the American Bar Association passed a resolution just this past February asking for a moratorium that they felt that they needed to examine the evidence and that there hasn't been that examination to determine that there is not this racial bias. The General Accounting Office and also other studies, objective studies, that have clearly demonstrated the outrageous racial bias of death penalty. The former Supreme Court Justices Blackmun and Powell are now condemning the death penalty, who once supported it, primarily because of its biases against poor people and minorities. So, Mr. President, I just wanted to correct those arguments that were on the floor here yesterday that we don't have racial bias in Alaska. We have studies that show that there is racial bias in the prison sentences here in Alaska, and that the deterrent for the life imprisonment versus capital punishment, that capital punishment is not a deterrent. And I think that we have to go by the experts that have studied these cases, at least I do, and the safety of the officers, that it doesn't show that an individual who has a lifetime sentence, that those officers are much safer than those that are convicted and have a capital punishment. In fact, it's quite the opposite, that the safety of the officers are at greater risk when there is the death penalty that is, or capital punishment that is enforced. And I again say that the Senate Bill 60, if we really are not afraid of our citizens and their recommendation back to this body, and they're the ones, the citizens of Alaska, they're the ones that we are representing, that we're working with the citizens of Alaska, that we then should listen to the citizens of Alaska and give them that opportunity of choice. If you really do believe that the citizens are for capital punishment, then put on the ballot that they have a choice of capital punishment or life imprisonment, and what that cost factor is going to be, what the deterrent is going to be, that our crime rate is going to go down, if that's what you believe. You can put all of the facts and figures right there on the ballot, but allow our citizens of Alaska that choice. And I think that we're deciding for them by saying, this is exactly one option that you've got, and we want to hear back from you on that one option, and it's an advisory vote. Let's give the citizens of Alaska the benefit of the doubt and allow them that opportunity for choice.
Further debate? Seeing no further, Senator Halpert?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that the people of Alaska, you know, they react to what they see in the media, and I guess, what is it, yesterday's or today's Metro section of the Anchorage Daily News talks about assault puts killer back in jail. And it goes on and talks about the original case. This person shot someone 6 times in the face and chest. They were eventually convicted, and we heard all the time that they served, well, this person served 10 years. And the article is about another assault by the same person and the conviction for the second assault. So the assumption that long terms of imprisonment actually occur in the state of Alaska is not necessarily true.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body. Bill Senate Bill 60 passes the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 13 yeas to 6 nays, Senate Bill 60 has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Further unfinished business. Senator Lehman?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee be allowed to waive the referral for House Bill 10. This bill is mandatory mediation for civil actions against design professionals. The next committee of referral is Judiciary and also has a finance referral.
Is there objection? Hearing none, House Bill 10 has been waived from the Labor and Commerce Committee. Further unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Green.
A Senate State Affairs will meet about 5 minutes after adjournment from the floor session today.
Further announcements. Senator Ward.
Senate Transportation was not held today at 1 o'clock, and the bills will be held over to the next scheduled meeting.
Further announcements. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, the Labor and Commerce Committee that was scheduled for today has been canceled, and you know, all of the items that were on the agenda for today will be carried over to the next meeting time, and the Rules Committee will be meeting tomorrow morning at 10:45 in the Farrington.
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Donnelly.
Ask unanimous consent to speak on a citation.
Without objection, Senator, you have the floor.
Last year, the body did a citation for a constituent of mine, Trajan Langdon, who's a pretty well-known basketball player from East High School, who had a very serious knee injury. He's playing for Duke now, and we sent him a citation congratulating him on his career and encouraging him to rehabilitate, and in fact he has, and he sent us a thank you the other day, just to all the members, a poster of the Duke basketball team here, and I just wanted to pass it on that he's really quite an impressive young man, and he's thanked all of us for encouraging his recovery, which was very successful, by the way.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders. Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate be adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, Senate is adjourned.